This hour of the Kevin Miller Show is brought to you by MinutemanRx.com. American families, American veterans, taking care of Americans. Fighting for America.
No citizen should ever be afraid to criticize their public official. No citizen should ever be cowed into silence.
Fighting for Idaho.
It's just a prejudiced situation where kids have to be forced to choose to either not say the pledge and be potentially ostracized, or say the pledge and reaffirm a prejudice against themselves and their family.
Fighting for you.
When you have our federal governing partner from the state level acting in such an absolutely uncivil manner, it really defies the very notion of what the foundations of our government are.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
Everybody has a plan until they're punched in the face.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Oh, Kevin Miller, you are so right. You are so right. And those of you that are continually punched in the face, welcome to Punchy in the Morning, K. Millie in the Morning, 580 KIDO. You are not alone, true believers. We'll have the latest on the Bundy Ranch versus the BLM. Now the BLM going into Texas. What's up with that? As if the BLM didn't have enough to do. Perhaps they'd take a look at our lands. What was it? Dave Burnett and I are going back and forth in that clip. Thank you, Ray Amaya from Ken Ivory. 62% of the state of Idaho is owned by the feds. More on that in a minute. We're joined by one of our favorite people, certainly someone who is very courageous, very religious, an example of Christianity, an example of sacrifice. I think about her and her husband and her family all the time. We pray for them. Nagmaid Abedini joins us this morning. Nagmaid, good morning.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good to have you with us here at 580 KIDO. And before we get rolling, we're going to have the governor on, and I saw your Facebook post, and what I'm going to do is we're going to record this, and just to, if you would like to ask the governor something here, we'll play it for him at 8 o'clock this morning. So if you have anything for Governor Otter, please say so right now.
I did see your Facebook post, and I would like Governor Otter to know that I would appreciate any efforts he can do to speak out on Saeed to bring more awareness. I know that he deals with internal issues, and this has to do with the State Department, but anything he can say will bring attention to the president and anything he can do to. I know he released a statement early on last year or so, but the more he can do, the better, and I would appreciate that.
You made a statement that when governors speak, presidents listen.
You know, they do. The president's take a note, and that's why early on I asked Governor Otter to do more, and the office has kind of been more silent because they've said it's not something they would normally comment on. It's more of the State Department or senators or, you know, that they would be more involved with. But, you know, I do think there's more that the governor can do, and because they do have a powerful voice, and it does get to the president, and it does push the president to do more. So the more we can, anything we can do at this point. I'm trying to get my husband home, and he's now in the hospital because of beatings earlier on during his time in the prison. And so we're trying to get him home and released and treated here in the U.S. And so anything that we can do to get him home, if it's the governor speaking out, if, you know, our senators and Congress have been great, but anything, you know, anything that can be done to bring more attention to our president and to Saeed's case would be great.
Well, and I know we're not going to go in depth, but you were traveling. I just wondered if you were home for Easter.
I was traveling. I was trying to be home for Easter, so I barely made it. It wasn't much of a Easter celebration because I was gone, but we did have one. Saeed always made it a big event, and we missed that. We missed having him. But it's been traveling nonstop. I travel in a few days to Philadelphia. I just traveled to Europe efforts for Saeed, bringing more awareness in Europe. And it was a great trip, and I will continue to travel and do what I can until my husband's home.
Boy, that is That is by the grace of God. I get all wigged out if I go to Philadelphia. I couldn't imagine going to Europe or any of these other places.
Yeah, it's difficult. I don't like airplanes, and it was a long ride to to Europe, and I get sick, but I think about my kids and I think about my husband, and I hope every trip makes a difference. And it did. It was a great trip, and there's a lot of support in Europe, and which is great. A lot of support, and so it's just good to see that. Good to see the whole world speaking out and saying this is not right. This is a human rights issue, and Saeed should be freed.
Nagmeh Abedini joining us. Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. Talk a little bit about Easter with you and your family. How was that?
You know, I made it just the day before, and I was on jet lag, but it was good. Usually I shared a video with Saeed. Usually he does a big project. Easter is a big deal. We, the kids, you know, the week following up to it, he prepares them, and last time they made a big cross, and he explained the whole message of Good Friday and Easter to them. But this year was good. We did a game. We went to church. We did a Easter hunt game just with me and the kids and a friend. And it was pretty mellow. His lack of presence is definitely noticed. And we talked about him, and we kept watching that video. Jacob was, they were very young in that time. And we kept watching that video of him teaching the kids about Easter, but it's painful. It's a good celebration. It's always a happy celebration for our family, because of what Jesus did on the cross and the peace we can get and the relationship we have because of that. But at the same time, it's painful because my husband's missing, their daddy's missing.
Well, are you worried about their children just, because they were very young and they've seen the videos, but losing that relationship with their father currently?
They do, I am worried about that. It's almost going on third birthdays without him, and they're so young. It's 3 birthdays for a 6-year-old, or, 7-year-old was a lot. They were toddlers when they last saw him. And we try, we talk about him, we watch movies, video, home videos. We have pictures. I share memories of what it was like when they were smaller and what we would do. So we try, but the reality is he hasn't been in their life for almost half their life now, and that's painful.
Nagmeh, as we continue on here, has there been any progress?
It's the Iranian government, so there's been a lot of pressure. I can say that, not just from our government has done. I hope that we can do more from here, but there's been a lot of pressure from a lot of different countries. There was a petition, for example, in the Netherlands, and there was 25,000 signatures by the Dutch people. But the government has, they're just different governments have been very involved, and so there's been a lot of different pressures. But it's the Iranian government. Ultimately, we don't know what all of this means and what Iran will do, and so I hope in God and trust in God and hope for a soon release. But in terms of, hands and things, it's the Iranian government. We never know. We never know what they're going to do.
Now, were you surprised that Saeed got to issue a prayer, a statement on Easter?
Well, he sees his family. So they get to visit him at the hospital. So he was able to get a letter. And that's been a lot of ways I've been able to communicate with him. So I didn't know if he was going to release a letter for Easter, but his parents were able to get that to me. And I think it was great. I think it was great that he did that. I didn't expect it, but I think it was really good to get that message out. And I have to say something, that when Saeed was moved from Evin prison to Rajari Shah prison, it was devastating and his health got worse. But I have to say, I'm so glad he, recently there was such a terror attack in Evin prison, and over 30 prisoners were moved to solitary, and there was bloodshed. And I look back to a lot of things that have happened, and I'm so thankful. At that time, I questioned why would he have to be moved to Rajari Shah, and why he would have to be beaten and be in such a bad condition, but just I have to say recently with the attacks on prisoners that have been so broken ribs, broken heads, just horrible, horrific in Evan prison. I'm so thankful that he was moved and now he's being treated, not being treated, but at least he's in a hospital. But you know, I'm glad he's there in the hospital and he was able to get a letter out to our family too, you know, not to our family, but to everyone. So I think it was a powerful message.
What about the Easter message and what your husband's going through, the correlation there?
I think there's a direct correlation. Usually his Easter messages are, you know, are very more upbeat. This one had to do a lot with the cross and dying to yourself before experiencing the resurrection, before experiencing a good, you know, what you want in your life, success, I guess, in your family and in work. And you have to pay a price. There is the cross, the Good Friday before the resurrection. And I think it was powerful, but I think it's exactly what he's going through. It's a reminder to him that he needs to continually die to himself of wanting to be home, of things he wants, but he can't. As a prisoner, he's bound. He's everything he eats or whatever he does is controlled. So he has to die to himself and for, you know. So I think it had to do directly with his situation. His letter did, and it's something I was surprised to get from him. But I'm glad he did. He did mention that because I agree. A lot of times we want a successful marriage, we want a successful family, but we're not willing to be selfless, have a radical selfless love that requires death to the self and putting others first and not wanting everyone and everything serving you. And so I do agree that I like that message. I think it has to do with his situation in prison right now.
How have you changed?
Well, the reality of God has become so clear. God has become so real. It's become more than the religion, Christian religion. He is with me every day, and there's no fear of man. I think, you know, a lot of times I've spoken out that I've had a lot of threats from the Iranian government, and there's just no fear, and no fear of airplanes, no fear of anything, and just the reality of God. And we celebrated Easter, and sometimes it can feel like a story, what Jesus did on the cross, and we're forgiven, and he was risen, and a lot of this powerful event in history that's been proven. But to really experience this relationship and to know no matter if my world falls apart, I'm okay because there is a truth behind this God, and he's real, and that's been amazing. That's been an amazing journey.
Is that a lesson for all of us who go through the motions?
Yes. You can use hard situations in your life. That's what I always share with people. All of us have hard situations, sicknesses, marriages that are falling apart, kids, friends, whatever it is, work, uncertain future, economy, money. Use that to draw close to God and experience him because he's real. And instead of running away from those difficulties, embrace it and use it to discover more of who God is. And we need to get out of the motion and really experience what we believe.
More with our friend Nagmeh Abedini next. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Let's get you to work.
We pray for Pastor Saeed Abedini. He's been held in Iran for more than 18 months, sentenced to 8 years in prison on charges relating to his Christian beliefs. And as we continue to work for his freedom today, again, we call on the Iranian government to release Pastor Abedini so he can return to the loving arms of his wife and children in Idaho.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Nagmeh Abedini with us talking about her husband, Pastor Saeed. We pray for Pastor Saeed. We continue to follow her campaign, her quest to bring her husband home, held in Iran against his will. Nagmeh, how has your going public changed the lives of others? We see you on the Facebook. You go to, whether it's the Fox, whether it's the Christian radio stations, you're always meeting people. What's that like for you? Because on one hand, you're there to raise awareness for your husband. On the other hand, you're a person and you meet these people that you wouldn't have met unless this had happened. What's that like?
You know, I've been able to meet people from all over the U.S. and the world and realize we're all the same with the same pains and struggles every day. We all have the same fears, same, you know, there's seeing, I guess, for me, the most eye-opening thing has been seeing so much, so many people struggling with so much. And if it's relationships or if it's finances or uncertainties, future about the future or family falling apart, kids falling apart, and being able to give hope to say that it's okay. You can go through the worst time of your life and still be okay because there's a God that you can trust and he can work everything for good. And there should, you know, you don't have to have a fear of anything. You can have peace and joy in the midst of your worst trials, and to be able to offer that to people who are full of anxiety and worry and depression and don't know what to do, and to offer God to them, offer Jesus to them, and to know that that is the solution has been great. And it's been hard seeing so much struggles all over the U.S. As I've traveled, I will be going to Philadelphia in a couple of days, but we're all the same and we have all the same struggles. But, you know, in our culture, we're told to we don't know how to handle suffering. But my message is to embrace suffering, embrace those struggles, and to find hope and joy and peace in the midst of them.
What's it like for you having grown into this individual before? You're a mom. We really don't know much about you before your husband was taken from us. What about your own growth?
I become a different person. I think my husband would be shocked. I lived in a lot of fears of what if this happened to my child? What if this happened to my husband? The fear of what if really paralyzed me. I dealt with a lot of anxiety and depression and was afraid to travel, was afraid to do anything, and was a stay-at-home mom. I've become a different person. God has really freed me of things that used to bind me and prevent me from, doing things. And so I've become I've become free, I guess, in a way of a lot of the anxiety and fear, and been able to just let go. And I'm afraid of public speaking, but I've been speaking in front of governments and churches and events. And so I've become a totally different person, and that reveals the glory of God, that reveals God, because he can make you into something you've never imagined and use you in a way you could have never imagined. If you just let go of everything and trust him, he can use your life in ways you could have never thought or imagined.
I would imagine, again, that's easier said than done. When your husband comes home, what will that be like for you and your children?
I think it was when he would be gone weeks at a time traveling, he would come home. It required some kind of an adjustment still. And I think it will require, in a way, he's our, you know, my husband and his our father, but in a way we'll be all strangers to each other. I think it will require a few months at least of this family time and really getting to spend time together. But amazing, our family doesn't feel whole right now without him. So I think just feeling whole again, feeling we're a unit again. But I know we'll have our difficulties as well of trying to, get to know each other and adjust from times of separation.
Now, I mean, what's it been like not only traveling the world, but dealing with the different Christian folks in the Treasure Valley? You know, you got your Catholics, you got your Protestants, you got your LDS, you've got all these folks that maybe they get along or they don't talk. But, I mean, your message is transcending all faiths, really.
You know, and that's the beauty of it. When I've had letters. Recently I received a letter from East Coast from a Catholic school, And it was amazing. So many high schoolers were writing, and the head of the school wrote a introduction letter. And just the beauty, what I've loved more than anything, I guess, in this, has been being in the center of having all these different denominations and churches really come together and seeing the body of Christ. You know, I don't think, as long as you believe in Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross, forgiveness of sin, and his resurrection, and having that connection with God through Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter what denomination you are and what church you are, and that's the beauty of it. I've been able to see the whole, the beauty of different, you know, different, I guess, flavors of churches and beliefs. And, you know, a lot of times we draw boundaries and we don't want to come together, but a lot of times I go to cities and there's an event and all, you know, 10 different churches of different denominations come together for that event, and it's beautiful to see that, from very conservative to very liberal. And I love seeing that more than anything, to see those boundaries crossed and everyone coming together and not, you know, realizing that we're really all one.
Now, I mean, anything else you'd like to share with people? Maybe they're having a tough time, and, you know, whether it's their marriage, whether it's their job, whether it's their lack of faith. What would you say to people driving in their cars or doing what you used to do before your life was changed?
You know, I understand what you're feeling, the anxiety that no one can take away, the fear that no one can take away, no matter how many people talk to you or whatever medicine you take, there's a deep, deep worry and anxiety and over your world falling apart. Maybe it's a marriage, maybe it's kids, maybe it's a job you're not sure of, and future and this country and so many things happening. But I want to encourage you that this is a rough diamond in the rough. It's something, the struggle you're going through will lead you in a journey of discovering the most amazing thing you can discover. If you embrace that suffering, embrace those fears, it will take you on a journey of discovering what all of us as humans need to discover, an intimacy with God. That's just the most amazing thing you can discover in your life. So I just encourage you, no one can fix it. I know it. I've had it. I just want to encourage the listeners to use the difficulties to draw into the big questions of life. Where is God? Who is God? And just draw and discover answers they might have never wanted to discover, unless this difficulty has come up. It makes you want to have these questions answered. And I think it will lead you in a journey that you would have never believed, and the most amazing journey. So, and I also want to say thank you, Kevin. I remember the first time we met, and I appreciate your heart. And I know that one of the first people I want, if not the first that I want Saeed to meet once he's in Boise, I want to come straight to your studio and have him meet you. I really appreciate your heart and what you're doing. Thank you.
Well, Nagmeet, please consider our show your show, and we want to, and we're very humbled and we're praying, but whatever we can do, because we're real people, and like I said, and you're moving me to tears here, but whatever we can do, whatever it is, and you have so many friends, but please consider us, you know, along on your journey here in the Treasure Valley, around the world, whatever we can do for you, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you. I consider you a great friend. Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate it.
Take care, ma'am.
God bless.
God bless. Bye-bye. There you have it, our friend Nagmeet Abedini, and folks, that's what we have here together, are these conversations. And throw everything else that we talk about out the window, and it's important, the politics, the this, the that. But the conversation with that young lady. And I urge you to get a chance to watch her on Facebook, because here you have a mom with her kids who shares everything and just wants her husband home. And we in Idaho, we across America, if nothing else, we can pray. And prayer is the most powerful weapon in this case, right? Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
KIDO is having its 85th anniversary, and we're giving you the presents. Keep listening to find out how you can win $1,000 in cash on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Joining us now, Tim Pagliara from Cap Wealth, a gentleman who could be doing a lot of things besides talking to his new best friend in Idaho when we're talking about making money and doing other things, but has decided to make the world a better place by, well, making sure that homes are still affordable through mortgages. Tim, good to have you with us, sir.
Good morning, Kevin. Thanks for having me back.
You know, I have to tell you this, and for a lot of folks that may not be familiar with Cap Wealth, which you're the chairman, founder, and CEO, you're a veteran of the securities industry. You're all about financial responsibility, and you're involved in this bill concerning what Senator Crapo is doing, Senator Corker is doing. And yet, to tell you a little bit about, tell the audience a little bit about you and how much you care, you wrote me a personal letter thanking us for having you on. And I have to tell you, that never happens. So, again, for people listening at 580KIDO, you're a great guy.
Well, thanks. I appreciate you helping us get to the truth here.
Well, it is. So let's talk about these 80 citizens in the Investors Unite Coalition and what happened in D.C. recently.
Well, we wanted to put a face behind the investors. The Congress has tried to demonize this process and say, well, they're only greedy hedge funds, and it doesn't matter if you disenfranchise them, you take away shareholder rights, you ignore the rule of law, you ignore the fact that there are four constitutional challenges by two of the leading constitutional scholars in the world, in Ted Olson and David Boyce, before the United States Court of Claims and the federal courts. We wanted these congressmen and senators to see who these people really were. You know, great example, and she kind of stole the show, was a lady by the name of Kim Adams. She came out of Reno, Nevada. And, you know, she's a housewife. Her husband is a construction worker. They're saving for retirement, and they made an investment in Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac based upon the information that was available, based upon the fact that they were trading as entities on public exchanges and reporting as public entities on exchanges. And, you know, now you have people like Senator Corker going around telling people like that, I hope you lose every dime of your investment. And it's just wrong. So we wanted to stand up for the rule of law and put a face on these investors.
Boy, it sounds like, I don't know if you're having buyer's regret, back to that Corker-Ford race so many years ago in Tennessee.
You know, they're both good people. You know, Harold Ford Jr. is actually, you know, presented himself as a very articulate and thinking kind of individual, you know, and Morning Joe and some of the other appearances I've seen him at. You know, I think Senator Corker's issue is he was a businessman. You know, he's headstrong, and it's his way or the highway. Unfortunately, you know, when you're a businessman, you make a mistake, you have to fix it. When you're a United States senator and you make a mistake, you affect the lives of a lot of other people. You know, it's not all about you. And that's what we're trying to do in bringing this message out, is that they are affecting the lives of a lot of people.
Now, speaking of the lives of these folks that you represent, you had a chance to meet with the counsel for the U.S. Senate Committee on Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs, the chief of staff of Corker, Crapo, and Johnson. How did that go?
Well, we met with Charles Yee. Charles is a really bright individual, Princeton grad, Columbia Law, decorated Iraqi war veteran. And he essentially looked at us and said, I can't help you because our bosses have told us to move this legislation along, and this matters in the courts, and it'll have to be decided by the courts. And, you know, when I got back, I did some more research. you know, because this is a big bill. It's hard to break it down. And when I make the comparisons to Crapo Johnson and residential Obamacare, I don't do that cavalierly. I'm not doing that, you know, to be funny. When I got back and I looked at the bill and had some help with it, page 338 of their bill actually ratifies the net worth sweep, which completely takes 100% of the profits of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac away from the shareholders. It stops the court from deciding existing law, and it kills the Federal Housing Finance Administration and the Treasury. You know, Charles Yee didn't lie to us, but he didn't even know it was in his own bill. And that's part of the problem. When you get these massive pieces of legislation that are affecting 15 to 20% of the U.S. economy, they need to get some more public input. They need to slow down. Everybody needs to understand what's going on. And here you had Senate staffers telling us something that was totally untrue.
And they didn't even know what's in their own bill. Where is the bill now?
Well, it is scheduled for markup April 29th, and we've had an impact. The word's getting out. I mean, things like this, you know, what our experience was, some of these other senators didn't even know. Some of these other senators didn't know that there were embedded new taxes that all Americans are going to have to pay to get a mortgage. You know, and the 10 basis point charge, you know, I think I told you in the last interview, $41.67 a month for the rest of their life in the form of a fee tax, if you call it that, for the privilege of having a mortgage.
Which everybody, you know, what is it, 99% of the people in America have mortgages to finance their homes.
That's right. One of the things, and there's a lot of other misinformation, the Idaho Statesman, I looked at, you know, editorial they did over the weekend, and said Crapo Johnson could potentially save the 30-year mortgage. Well, that's not true. There's two people lining up on this. There are the big banks that are going to benefit because Crapo Johnson gives the big banks a franchise that belongs to the shareholders of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, and it belongs to the American people because they've benefited from lower mortgage rates. So everybody's in that line because they're giving these institutions a stream of cash flow of $50 to $100 billion a year. In the financial markets, that's like giving them several hundred billion dollars. Now, the other line is the investors that are going to make investments in these mortgages. And there's nobody in that line. In fact, the largest fixed income manager in the world, PIMCO, they wrote an article in Barron's last week, and they said, we're not buying it. This is a, you know, an untested, unproven system. We want Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. So there's the disconnect. You know, there are facts, there are opinions, and, you know, we're trying to focus everybody on the facts.
Well, let me hit you with this. Are the banks becoming too powerful?
Anytime you're playing with other people's money, you know, there's risk in that. And that's essentially our banking system. You know, for every dollar that they have in the form of capital, they've got $10 invested elsewhere. And the American people are the backstop of that. And so they need to be regulated. We need to learn, as we have from the financial crisis of 2008. You know, as I've told people, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, there is reform that needs to be made. But you don't destroy two tried entities, actually survived the housing crisis, and start something completely new. You tweak and you work on it. So I think that process is underway, and we need big banks. You know, you take big companies like Boeing that's in the news today. They've got to have the J.P. Morgans and the Citibanks of the world, and in order to be able to support their global operations that provide a lot of jobs for people in this country and around the world. So there's a a fine balance. Big banks are not inherently bad. Some of the things that came out of the financial crisis were.
Well, Tim, we appreciate it. We'll have you back on, sir.
All right, Kevin.
Take care now.
Thank you.
Thank you. You're welcome. Bye-bye. Let's get you to traffic.
John Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
It is 6:59. Kevin Miller in the morning. Coming up, we're going to take a look at the Apache program, the A-10 program, and what we can do to save it, number one. And number two, don't forget, congressional candidate Brian Smith at 7:30 and Governor Otter at 8. Stay tuned. Kevin Miller.
Serving Emmett, Idaho.